Report details sweeping misinformation.
Massive amounts of evidence to show that the Russians were involved in our democracy.
Sharp rise in teen vaping.
1 in 3 high school seniors are using vaping to administer drugs.
2 months after Hurricane Michael.
Just deplorably unbelievable.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Zoom Video Conferencing.
Good morning, I'm Steve Kaif, and a report prepared for the U.S. Senate details just how widespread Russia's election meddling efforts were in 2016, and they went beyond just helping get Donald Trump elected president. We're live with White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
Well, this is the most comprehensive look yet at the Russian social media effort as it ran through the campaign and into the middle of last year. Prepared for the Senate Intelligence Committee by independent researchers, the report details efforts to suppress African-American turnout with misinformation about when and how to vote. Conservatives were also targeted by the effort, fed messages aimed at rallying them to support Donald Trump. CBS News political analyst Leonard Steinhorn.
What the Russians were doing was putting their thumb on the digital scales of our democracy. Putin had a goal, and whether working with Donald Trump or not, we don't know that yet, he accomplished it.
The Washington Post, first to report the findings, says the effort targeted users of all the major social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Steve?
Well, for a long time, President Trump insisted he'd be willing to sit down with special counsel Robert Mueller, but on Fox News Sunday, his lawyer Rudy Giuliani put that idea to bed for good.
Over my dead body, but, you know, I could be dead.
He said he's disgusted by the tactics used by Mueller's team to get guilty pleas from Michael Flynn and others. Correspondent Paula Reed says it's a key week in Washington with a partial government shutdown a real possibility.
White House senior advisor Stephen Miller stood behind the president's threat to shut down the government if Congress doesn't grant funding for the border wall.
We're going to do whatever is necessary to build the border wall.
There are not the votes for the wall.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said Democrats will not budge on their opposition to the $5 billion project.
All he's going to get with his temper tantrum is a shutdown. He will not get a wall.
If both sides can't reach an agreement by Friday, more than 420,000 federal employees would be working without pay during the holiday season.
On Fox News, Julie Goldstein defended her husband. He's a former Army commando charged with murder and the death of a suspected bomb maker in Afghanistan back in 2010, a man thought to be responsible for a blast that killed 2 U.S. Marines.
He was lucky enough to survive war and has come home to be ripped apart by his own government.
Well, not long after she spoke, President Trump tweeted he would examine the allegations against a man he called a military hero, military analyst Jeff McCausland.
The president actually complicates the issue because now certainly defense attorneys will raise questions of involuntary command influence. The president has prejudiced the case one way or the other.
Well, the good news about American teenagers is their use of alcohol is dropping. Cigarette smoking and opioid use are falling too. But a new federally funded study says vaping is rising fast. Dr. Wilson Compton is deputy director of the National Institute on Drug Abuse.
37% of the high school seniors report that they're vaping in 2018. This number increased from 27% in 2017.
Well, CBS's Don Daler's in the Cincinnati area, where increasing the availability of Narcan dramatically cut opioid overdose deaths and emergency room visits.
Since last October, the Narcan Distribution Collaborative has handed out more than 37,000 Narcan doses to the public. Tim Ingram is the Hamilton County Public Health Commissioner.
We got this idea, what would happen if we saturated the community to put Narcan out in as many hands as possible?
Opioid-related overdose deaths decreased by 31%. Dr. Sean Ryan helped institute the Narcan Distribution Collaborative. 75% of his patients with severe opioid use disorder were once revived with Narcan.
It's potential that almost none of those people would have made it to treatment if they hadn't had Narcan available.
All this week, we return to the Florida Panhandle, where just over 2 months ago, Hurricane Michael caused widespread devastation. Here's CBS's Peter King.
The phrase war zone is certainly overused in these kinds of stories, but it's how residents describe how their town looks. Peggy and Ronnie Youngblood live across from the beach.
Go back into the subdivision down here. It's just deplorably unbelievable.
Boats, cars, pieces of houses from the beach have filled the canal behind their condo. Removing all the debris could take months. The hurricane destroyed or badly damaged about two-thirds of the homes here. There are only a handful of businesses open along U.S. 98.
We are running a food truck while we are waiting for our building to get fixed up.
The town's Christmas tree is right there. Donna Harvey is trying to spread some holiday cheer.
I'm making a couple of ornaments to donate to the tree from shells that I have collected on the beach.
Next to the tree, volunteers are stacking cartons of food and cases of water for anyone who needs it. Peter King, CBS News, Mexico Beach.
Many people who live in Puerto Rico may still be reeling from Hurricane Maria's punishing blow, but some in the tourism business have bounced back.
Starting today, guests at the St. Regis Bahia Beach Resort in Puerto Rico will once again fill its private beach following a $60 million renovation. The island's second five-star resort, Dorado Beach, a Ritz-Carlton Reserve, fully opened last month. Director of Sales, Eva Josich.
We are back and better than ever. Really will put Puerto Rico in the minds of people traveling in the Caribbean.
Musicians are back playing in Old San Juan and tourists are returning. Island officials expect available hotel rooms to reach pre-Maria levels by the middle of next year. Wendy Gillette, CBS News, San Juan.
CBS's Elizabeth Palmer has been talking to the innocent victims of war in Yemen, many of them women and children facing starvation.
Assam is two, and so malnourished he weighs half what he should. Nurse Makia Ahmed Mehdi tries to feed him nutrition-packed paste, but he doesn't want it.
He can't keep it down.
Nurse Makia introduced us to the people of Al Ghouta camp. They're so short of food, they're eating leaves.
They're cooking these to eat them?
From trees.
Yes, they say, even though it gives the children diarrhea. And they want to know, why isn't more help coming?
Well, Meghan Markle's father wants help from Queen Elizabeth to repair his tattered family ties. Live to CBS's Vicky Barker.
Retired TV lighting director Thomas Markle says he hasn't heard from his royal daughter in months, despite texting her every day. Asked what he'd say to the Queen, Markle said,
I would appreciate anything she can do, I would think that she would want to resolve family problems.
Markle telling ITV's Good Morning Britain he's holding on to hope.
I'm hopeful that soon something will be resolved and we'll be talking. This can't continue forever.
Harry and Meghan appear to think it can. Steve?
Well, Miss Philippines won the Miss Universe pageant in Bangkok, and Merriam-Webster says its most searched word of the year, justice. That's the World News Roundup for Monday. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.